numbers of people and no real reason. You see the things that are going on in this world. Who wants to live in this when I know there's something much better? Why would I want to stay here? You remember Paul's statement, "Lord, I wish you'd take me now. I want to be with you, but if I can't be with you now, if you're going to keep me on this earth, then what? Show me your way." And that should be us today. We know that death is sure. Death may be soon. We don't know. I remember as a little boy thinking 30 was old. Kids, right? 30 is old, right? Yeah. 30 is old. Well, I reached 30, and now I'm at the point that I have filled out that I have lived more years past 30 than I'll live on, and I can't remember what I did at 30. 30 is not old, folks, and we're not necessarily going to die at 30. The time is, it is up to God, and death can be sudden. We never know what's going to happen. I had a pastor in my home church, loved him to death. He was a people person. He loved people, and he loved God. And he preached the message of Jesus Christ. And when I grew up, I went into service, and I was overseas when I received the word that my pastor had died. The question, the thing is, I didn't know how he had died. But they told me what happened was, Jesse King got behind a pulpit just like this one right here, and he was preaching his heart out for God to the congregation, and he fell to the ground. Everybody looked and didn't know what to do, mesmerized. He pulled himself back up off of the floor, got behind the pulpit, and started preaching again. And the second time he fell, and that was it. For years, I thought how bad that was. But God has showed me what a way to go. Preaching God's word when he took you. But it was that quick. You see, Jesse didn't have any heart problems. He had not been sick. He had not been diagnosed and said, "You got 6 months to live." But God took him that day. We don't know, folks. We need to be prepared. We have an appointment with death. We just don't know where it is. And I think about the sad day that we all saw on TV when those planes hit the Twin Towers and the thousands of people that died that day didn't know they were going to die. It happened that quick. So you see, this is what I'm talking about. Death is going to happen. We are going to die. We don't know when it's going to die, and we don't know how quick it's going to die. The second thing we see is there may be no tomorrow for reaching the lost. What we do for Christ, we must do it quickly. Now that needs to be repeated again. It needs to sink in, okay? So listen, what we do for Christ, we must do quickly. Paul and the disciples worked as if they were going to be taken up the next day. They expected, they were looking for Jesus to come, and Paul was working quickly to share to as many people as he could the name of Jesus Christ. We have become social churches. We don't like to call ourselves that. No, we don't all belong to the country club and all of that, but we do have membership as members of this church, don't we? And we do enjoy our fellowship together. But God didn't call us here to fellowship with one another. He called us in the Great Commission to do what? Go ye therefore. Go, as you are going, preach the word, share the word. And so we should do it quickly. We should take every opportunity that we can to share. Now, one of the things that I've realized with people is, if you ride a motorcycle, everybody speaks to everybody. You stop at a gas station, you go over and you speak to somebody else, you nod your head, and you find yourself into a conversation with people at times. Why do I say that? Because I have realized that God has given me an opportunity to share the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wear a Christian biker shirt that has scripture on it with a biker riding it, and I have had so many openings with that. Man, what a cool shirt. And sometimes I forget what I have on there, and I have to kind of look down to see what's written on there. And then I see that scripture verse up there that they were looking at, and that opens the door for conversations. Now, we all stand in lines. Our society today is a what? Hurry up and wait. There's hardly anywhere, even the express line, can you get through expressly, can you? So when you're standing in line, have you ever started a conversation? They ought to open another line up so we could get on through here. And you start talking, and you talk about the weather and this kind of thing. But when does Jesus come into play with it? This is what he's talking about. Using every opportunity to share the name of Jesus Christ. Because we need to realize there will be a day that God will send, the trumpet will sound, and that day of judgment will come. And there will be people that will be separated, as is the weeds and the good plant, the sheep and the goat, Christians and non-Christians. There will come that day that we will be judged. And there will be days that, and there will be people that Jesus will look at and say, I knew you not. Depart from me. And I think those are the saddest words we could ever hear in our lives. Depart from me. Depart. So you see, that is why the disciples, that is why the church fathers, that's why the disciples and Paul and all of them saw the urgency of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I feel that as a church, that is our job too. And we should feel that urgency to begin to share. As you read into Acts, the church that was happening there, the church that was on fire for God, you see that what happened? And thousands were added daily. Now, when's the last time you read something in a paper, religious paper, heard it on the radio about a church that added thousands daily? Now, I know what you're thinking. How do I know? Because I thought it too. That's impossible. We don't even have 1,000 people in the sanctuary. How can we have thousands added each day? Well, as long as we sit here and we stay at home, we're not going to see thousands added every day. But if each one of us goes out here and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can see thousands added each day. And I'm not talking about Wythville Baptist Church. I'm talking about God's kingdom. Each one of us need to share with our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. You live next door to people. Are they Christians? Do they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? On that day of judgment, will you watch them depart because you didn't share and you had that opportunity? So you see, this is what it is. It's an urgency. And then the last thing we see is there may be no tomorrow for serving the Savior. Let's adjust today's plan to serve God. As I mentioned earlier, how many times have we made plans and it got shuffled? As a minister, I see that all the time. I'm planning out a day to study for next week's sermon, and I get a call that somebody's sick in the hospital, somebody's on their deathbed, or somebody has died. Can you do this funeral? And I've already got other plans laid out. And so I see the changes that happen, but we need to adjust today's plan so that we can serve God. No matter what we've got planned today, you don't think God won't take care of us? If he can take care of the birds, the sparrows, what do you think he'll do with us? He will take care of us. And so it is an urgency to see that we need to serve our Savior to the very best we can. When we come in here, we need to worship him. We need to raise up our offerings to him. And I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about our souls, our minds. We need to praise him. When we sing, we need to be lifting our praises, our voices up to him. and not because the preacher or the music person said, let's stand and sing. We need to do it so that it is pleasing to Him. In the Old Testament, they had to have a sacrifice. And on that altar, the fire, they laid that meat, that calf, or whatever it was that they put up there for the sacrifice. And you know as well as I do, when you ride down in a neighborhood or you're out in your backyard and somebody's grilling, what do you smell? It's like, can I crash that party, right? It's smelling good. It was pleasing in God's sight. And that is the same thing. Even though we're in the New Testament, our praises, our singing, our thoughts should be pleasing in His sight, just as the Old Testament cooking of the meat was. This is what He's offering. This is what He's sharing with us today. This is saying we should be stewards. Everything we have belongs to God. Nothing I have belongs to me. Nothing. Everything God has provided for me through different means. And we need to open our eyes and see. And the question we need to ask this morning is, have we faithfully served the Master? The beginning, verse 24, says, you cannot serve two masters. What we're saying and what the Scriptures are saying here is you cannot serve the world and God. But we have tried to do what? Weave them together, haven't we? We have seen that we have watered down the Scriptures. We're not teaching and we're not on fire like we wanted to be because we want to be just like everybody else. Well, folks, God said the Scriptures. Proverbs says, and even some of Confucius and all the others will tell you the same thing. They will say this same thing in their Scriptures. You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. And folks, let me tell you, as Christians, we're either growing for Christ or we're dying for Christ. There's no middle ground. I've heard pastors that say, I'm a maintenance pastor. And I said, what do you mean you're a maintenance pastor? Well, we just maintain. We just hold our own. Well, these guys that have told me that, sometimes I think they're smarter than I am, but when they make that statement, my Scripture says you either serve me or you don't. You either live for me or you die. There is no in between. So folks, we're not a maintenance church. So the question today, are we a living church or are we a dying church? Now, if you have not noticed, if you walk out these doors right over here and go down the hallway and look over to your left on our bulletin board, there is a great big sign that says auction. In Richmond, another church has died. The property is going to be auctioned off. There are no more meeting for the name of Jesus Christ. The caption is simply this. Can this happen to WBC? Can this happen to our church? Can this happen to us? Yes, it can. Is it going to happen? Yes, it will. Unless we begin to live for Christ. That's the only hope we've got. If not, we can expect a for sale sign out here on these doors and these premises. Auction. The choice is ours this morning. Do we live for Christ or do we die? Do we worry about everything or do we turn it over to Him this morning? That's our choice. Are you living for Christ or are you dying? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning? And if not, in just a minute, you will have that opportunity to make that choice, to know Him, because we never know when that trumpet will sound and Christ will come. Let us pray.